Welcome back to From the Ground Up with Mark Weller as we continue with part two of our conversation with Graham Waitzkin of Icon.
So, you know, thinking about expansion and so on, you know, it looks like this business can obviously expand exponentially in the U.S. alone. Right. You know, you're looking at projects all over the world and even on the moon, right? So how fast can you scale? You know, there's just a great 60 Minutes expose that I watched. It was very cool with Jason, your CEO. And it was just a really exciting to talk about. How fast can you scale the places you want to use this technology without spreading too thin? You know, this is part of growing a company, right? And what's the approach to that? How does Icon grow?
Yeah. So the next big project that's out there for us, we're going to partner again with Bjarke Ingels Group and go out to Far West Texas and build the next incarnation of the El Cosmico Hotel. El Cosmico was kind of the first Airstream hotel before that was cool. And so we're going to build kind of El Cosmico 2.0 with a printed hotel, spa, one of a kind residences in the desert in West Texas.
In Marfa, right?
Yeah. Overlooking the Davis Mountains on the outskirts of Marfa. And then we have a bunch of new communities that I probably shouldn't spill the beans on now, but really coming online over
hey,
the next.
Real quick, before you go into anything else, what are you doing in Marfa, man? What's going on in Marfa? Tell me about Marfa.
Marfa's an people incredible don't, place.
Some Everyone people know. Loves it. Some people know, but there's a lot of people that even heard of it or haven't been there. And there's a lot of people that haven't heard of it. So tell us give us El Cosmico is super cool. It's super cool people, Liz Lambert and so on, and her crew. And like, it's just cool, right? These are Austin tastemakers coming, and they're going out to Marfa. Tell us what's going on in Marfa? Like what's the deal?
Yeah. Marfa is an incredible place. Originally kind of put on the map by Donald Judd, who's really kind of one of the most prolific and well-known American sculptors of the last, you know, call it 100 years. And Marfa is an art town in Far West Texas. And it's a place where you have kind of unique happenings. There's a Marfa Lights. There's kind of this unknown kind of lights out in the desert that people go out to see beautiful country. If you think like No Country for Old Men or something like that, landscapes. An incredible art community and creative community out there. And Liz Lambert, who's probably most well known for all the hotels that she has founded here in Austin, Texas, originally built El Cosmico out there as an escape. And it just attracts really creative, really inspiring people, both kind of musicians, artists, and it's just a really fantastic place.
Before we close on Marfa, though, just so everybody understands, how far is Marfa from Austin?
Should we do a separate segment on Marfa?
No, I find Marfa is fascinating. It's a fascinating discussion, and it rolls so cool into the product. That
maybe we could get Liz Lambert on to
that Icon is building. Yeah, but it's just a cool product. Yeah. So how far is Marfa from the world?
I mean, it's a 6-hour drive due west of Austin.
Yeah, I mean, it's 6 hours from Austin. Yeah.
Right. And it, you know, if you live on the East Coast, 6 hours sounds far, but if
Texans
you live in
drive.
Texas, everything's 6 hours away.
Texans drive.
And so, but you know, what you're doing is you're driving from your urban life in Austin, Dallas, Houston, and those 6 hours, you see the landscape transform in front of you from hill country to plains to oil country to all of a sudden high desert.
Yeah.
And the air is crisp and it's cooler and it's wild. And so you really get a transformative mindset just getting out there.
The product you're building out there, I've seen it. Yeah. You can actually probably see it on your website, or you can Google El Cosmico. There's all kinds of cool stuff. But like, it's a transformative, it's forward-thinking product. Like it's very cool. Very edgy.
Particularly, you know, the hotel experience is going to be one of a kind. the residences that designed by Bjark Ingels that we're building out there are incredibly, you know, unique, but also of the place, right? They use a tinted concrete that matches the desert landscape, and really take advantage of the views out there. It's going to be a really incredible community when it gets
No country for old men. That's a little scary. There's also a little Cheech and Chong situation going on.
I don't know.
Anyways, it's good stuff. Thanks for sharing that.
I
had to dive into that, Matt. I'm sorry. Marfa awesome. Is not as well known as it should be to a lot of folks on the East Coast.
When they're done with this, it's going to be well known everywhere.
For sure.
You mentioned just now of the place, and as it pertains to your Carbon X technology and what you're doing there, we kind of breezed over it, but there's an environmental sustainability type of message here as well because of the carbon reduction in the construction process. The other thing that's pretty cool is what I've learned from visiting is that you're using materials from the local environment in that mixture to make the homes. Talk about that and why that's important and what that does.
Yeah. Matt, I appreciate that question. And I also want to pick up on something Mark was asking about earlier is like, how does this scale, right? It's like, there's this factory here in Austin, Texas. There's a few cool projects. How does this scale? The thing about, robotics is we can build the printers here at a factory or at a few factories around the world, put a printer in a shipping container and ship it anywhere in the world. And then you're using effectively local building materials when you're there.
So is it one shipping container carries a printer or is it multiple?
With Vulcan, it's multiple, but with the Phoenix, it's one shipping container.
That's very cool.
So, but the thing about concrete is, we like to say concrete is the world's most ubiquitous local building material. You can go to any continent except for Antarctica and people are building with concrete, right? And so, like for our batch plant here in Austin, Texas, all the materials are sourced from a few hundred miles away versus if you're building with lumber here in Texas, that lumber is probably coming from Canada, right? So think like logistics, carbon footprint, all those kind of things. And so by using that, the local materials, the sands, the cements, we can effectively use a technology with local labor and local building materials to solve this problem.
Yeah, that's great. And then, it's really interesting when you talk about the design and you talk about the local materials. There was something just truly fascinating. I have to have you tell the story about the work that you're doing in space with the lasers and the materials. Are you allowed to talk about that? If not, we'll strike it from the conversation.
No, we can talk about it. The good thing is, I don't even understand half the details that team is doing in there. So I can't, I mean, those folks truly are rocket scientists. So I probably couldn't spill, any proprietary IP, but, effectively as we started pioneering this construction 3D printing technology, NASA came to us a few years back and said, hey, can you apply your thinking to building off-world? And over the last few years, we've developed a stronger relationship with NASA and an entire division that focuses on off-world construction. And interestingly,
that's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, and interestingly, the original thought was like, okay, hey, how can you use in the case of the moon dust? How can you use moon dust as like your concrete mix, right? But as it turns out, there's not really a lot of water to mix with that mix up there on the moon. You probably could get some ice somewhere on the moon, but it'd just be prohibitively expensive. So we've developed a number of technologies. The most promising one uses a laser to actually convert moon dust directly into a structural system, basically by instantly applying that laser to the local material.
It's absolutely fascinating. And we saw a demonstration when we were there. It's really incredible. What you all are working on is really fascinating. And I know we've kept you for a long time today. We have time for one more question, and then we're going to let you go. This has been a great conversation, Mark. I'll turn it over to you.
I was just, I kind of witnessed it in my own office when I went back and told them what I had seen. And then I brought people down with me for the next visit when we were down there, and everybody was totally sold on the idea. So, it takes a little bit to get people to understand it, and then certainly to adopt these types of technological advances that are in the industry now. So what are your biggest challenges of getting this into the mainstream? How do you see your challenge of getting this into the mainstream?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the biggest challenge is honestly like just the way it is, right? Our whole industry, as we mentioned kind of at the outset here, is slow to adopt change. And everything is currently set up to reinforce us to build the same way over and over again, right? Even if we know that that way is deficient. And so that's the challenge that we face every day. I mean, that being said, we talk a lot around here about better, faster, cheaper. Like, how do you do it? Better, faster, cheaper. And we think if we present that solution to the market, that that it's kind of hard to ignore, right? And so we're even seeing folks like the insurance industry, which has been like pretty slow to come around on new technology. We've seen them start to come around and come into ICON and understand, where that industry has been averse to change. Now they're saying, okay, we can actually start applying this technology in markets that maybe were previously cost prohibitive for us. Yeah,
and I lied. I'm going to ask one more question as a follow-up to that. And I think it helps answer the question is, how does the product and these homes, how do they perform in extreme weather conditions, whether it be heat, whether it be wildfires, whether it be hurricane force winds, sea rise? Yeah. Just talk about that for a second. And I promise that's the last question now.
Yeah. Don't worry. Hey, Matt, we can hang for a bit. Don't worry. I kind of go back to the better, faster, cheaper.
When you say that, we used to say in the industry, we used to say better, faster, cheaper, pick two.
Yeah.
That's what we used to say. But your point is you can have all three.
Yeah, I think, what do they call that? Like the engineer's trilemma or something. It's like, yeah. you can't get all three. But really what we've developed, we feel like is truly a better housing product. So Matt, to answer your question directly, our default wall system, that two bead wall system that we talked about earlier, out of the box is fire resistant with a 2-hour fire rating, is hurricane and tornado resistant, having passed both the Miami-Dade and the National Tornado Shelter standards. And because it's concrete, you can basically submerge it underwater and pull it out, and it's resistant to rot, to mold, to termites, and won't disintegrate like wood or sheetrock. So, as we're seeing folks that are experiencing extreme weather events or climate events, right, whether it's on the Gulf Coast or in the West Coast, we're seeing this as a product that can potentially solve a lot of those challenges.
That's really incredible. And this has been a great conversation, Graham. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But thank you so much for joining us today. I think our listeners are going to really enjoy learning more about this. And we look forward to learning more about all the evolution of the product and of your company over the years.
Yeah. Appreciate having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure. And maybe next time we'll do this in DC.
No. We're doing this in Marfa.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Live podcast in Marfa.
We're going to do El Cosmico in Marfa dress like No Country for Old Men. And then we're going to have a lot of fun. All right. That's awesome, man. This has been great to have you on. And there's so much to talk about, but hopefully this gives people some interest and some understanding. And then I think what we'll do on the, when we do post this, we'll make sure to post some links to some of the really exciting things to get educated and better understand exactly what you're doing and give you the real visuals. Cause I think the visuals are necessary. And we're going to do that for you as well, but this was great to have you on. Thanks so much for your time, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you guys.
All right. That's going to do it for us today. A big thank you to Graham Waitzkin of Icon for being with us today. If this episode was of interest to you, please check out Icon on the web at iconbuild.com. And of course, a lot of their materials are searchable by Google. So just check them out. Search on the different things we talked about today. And you'll learn a lot more by looking into it. So as always, we'd love to hear from the audience. So hit us up on Instagram or LinkedIn at Weller Development with questions, comments, or ideas for upcoming shows. Thanks for listening. I'm Matt Rienzo. He's Mark Weller. Keep building, people.